Last week, the two hosts of the Weekly List said this.
My thing with the Stones is that they don't need Mick Jagger. They're a better band for having Mick Jagger in the band, but they don't have to have Mick Jagger to be the Rolling Stones.
And I totally agree with that.
Keith Richards
is
the Rolling Stones.
In my mind, and you got to have Charlie Watts.
Daniel G. Moyer and I, who can look at a band and both say they are great and then completely disagree on the reasons why, both said in a moment of rare unanimity that the Rolling Stones are not the Rolling Stones without Charlie Watts. It was true when we said it, and unfortunately, it remains true today. Charlie Watts, who had played the drums in the Rolling Stones since January of 1963, passed away on Tuesday morning at the age of 80. The rock-solid, somewhat crusty, often underwhelmed lover of jazz who powered one of the most important rock and roll bands in history became the first member of the band, past or present, to pass away in more than 50 years. He had been the balance to the two massive personalities that stood in front of him for nearly 60 years. Where Mick Jagger and Keith Richards would prance, preen, and stagger around the stage, clearly aware of their place in the hearts of all who saw them as well as their place in history, Watts sat almost perfectly still behind his drum kit, moving only to play his instrument with masterful precision and economy of movement. Jagger and Richards' lifestyles are legendary, especially when it came to members of the opposite sex. Watts married Shirley Shepherd in October of 1964, and the two remained married for the rest of Charlie's life. Where Mick and Keith were swaggering and bombastic, Charlie was quiet and thoughtful. Where the Glimmer Twins are known as much for their style, particularly Jagger, as anything, Charlie Watts sat in their shadow, providing the substance they needed to produce some truly legendary music. This is not to say that Watts didn't know his importance. The most famous story about Watts begins when his phone rang in a hotel room sometime and somewhere during the Stones' early 80s Tattoo You tour. He answered only to hear Jagger's voice on the other end saying, "Where is my drummer? Get up here." Watts got out of bed, showered, shaved, put on one of his freshly pressed suits for which he was famous, and went to Jagger's room. When Mick opened the door, Watts punched him squarely in the face. As Jagger lay there in a combination of shock and agony, Watts pointed a finger at him and said, "I am not your drummer. You are my singer. Do not ever forget that." And then he walked away. Tonight, the Weekly List pays tribute to a man whose importance in the history of 20th century music cannot be understated. If, as my co-host and I both agree, if Keith Richards is the soul of that band, Charlie Watts was the heart. He was the skeleton upon which Jagger and Richards and Brian Jones before them built an incredible and unshakable body of work. Tonight, we remember Charlie Watts. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of the Weekly List.
This is not what we were planning.
We did not plan to do this show tonight, did we?
No, not at all, especially after last week's Stone show.
Exactly. We did a Rolling Stone show last week. This was the last thing I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, I even teased what we were going to do last week.
You did,
And that's gonna be sitting on the back burner for a while.
It'll come back around again. There will be other occasions to do that show. Charlie Watts.
Yeah, you got to go with...
You have to. There's nothing else to do except.
Well,
yeah.
You got. What talk would about, we do? We like to, what we planned, and then all of a sudden, just go. Oh, by the way, Charlie Watts died the other day, and here's the other song by this that we're gonna play.
Yeah,
that's not gonna happen.
No, that ain't gonna happen. There's two really big things at play here. First of all, is just the passing of a legend.
Yeah.
In and of itself, Charlie Watts was. He was about the most perfect drummer you could find.
He was. Can you imagine the Rolling Stones with anybody other than him?
It would be too much.
There's technically better drummers. A drummer has to fit the personality of the band correctly. I mean, you cannot imagine The Who without Keith Moon.
Right,
you can't.
Right.
You cannot imagine the Beatles without Ringo. And you have to have Charlie Watts in the Stones.
Well, Charlie Watts was the balance in that band. I mean, you've got like a, you know, you've got these two giant egos.
Yeah, you've got the fulcrum right there between the mind and the soul. And you're absolutely right. And Charlie was the heart. He was the beat, and he kept the whole thing steady and together.
Yep.
And he could manage the difference between sloppy, which, to be quite honest with you, especially the Ronnie Wood, Keith Richards, there's so much intertwining between guitars.
It's sloppy.
And you needed to have Watts there to balance between those two,
something,
and then you go over the top with Mick's voice.
There has to be precision in that music somewhere, and if it's not Charlie Watts, it's not. It's just not there.
Yeah, I mean, so that's how it has to be.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so we started tonight with Live With Me from Let It Bleed, and we talked about that song last week as well. We didn't play it, so it's good that we got to play it this time.
Yeah.
There's a great version on the Shine a Light documentary, or concert film.
Yeah, the soundtrack to which, by the way, is out of print.
Is it really?
Yeah, which is just a real shame, because there. I mean, you can find the music on YouTube.
Okay, can you find it on like Apple Music?
No.
Or really?
No.
Well, then I'm glad that I got that.
Exactly. I'm glad I bought the album when
I did. Well, my guess is that there's so many guests on it. You got Christina Aguilera, who sings Live With Me. You got Jack White. You've got all these people. And my guess is that they probably just ran out of the artist rights.
Probably.
That's how music works these days, kids.
Yeah.
It's all
that sucks.
Dollars and t-shirts.
Anyway, Live With Me, it's a cut from Let It Bleed, 1969. And it's just that driving beat,
isn't that,
cuts right through the funky Bill Wyman bass intro. I mean, it's just perfect.
And it's got that right element of R&B soul.
Exactly.
And all of this.
Exactly.
The charts and everything is just nuts.
Charlie Watts was not a flashy drummer.
No.
He was not Keith Moon.
He was not
John Bonham. He wasn't even Phil Collins for that matter. Mm-hmm. Charlie was a human metronome. He just was perfect in the way he played, and he played jazz style. He had the way he held his left stick, and I mean, it was all Charlie came from a jazz background.
Yeah, he did.
He had to learn about the blues from Jagger and Jones and Keith Richards. They had to sit him down and teach him about that stuff.
Yeah,
but then it worked.
it did, and he. We'll talk more about his style later on, because there's some better songs that give some example, but Live With Me is a really good intro, just to kind of the powerhouse that he was.
Right.
And I always was very impressed with his approach on the snare drum, the way that he would attack the snare. And he had typical rock and roll is in 4/4 time, and I'm going to go on a little bit, and the beat's really on the 2 and 4. You know, 1, 2, 2. Like
get it.
And so anyhow, he had a real kind of laconic way of hitting the 2 and 4. It sounded sleepy, but it was also driving. And it's such a weird thing to be able to do. And he did it better than anybody. And that's why he fit with the Stones, because it worked. It worked.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, it did. It worked. It worked. Yeah. Maybe. The way I look at Charlie Watts is... you think of the Rolling Stones as a Christmas tree, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was the tree.
Yeah, he was.
Ronnie Wood, Mick Taylor, Brian Jones, Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, they're the decorations on the tree, but Charlie's the tree.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so you take away the tree and you've just got a big mess on the floor.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Right? So there it is.
Okay, so that was Live With Me. Then we're going to go with, next is going to be Beast of Burden.
Which is the perfect example of a Christmas tree.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And this is also from the Some Girls album in 1978. Some Girls is one of my favorite records, and I love this song, Beast of Burden, because it's got that kind of, this gives a good example. I was talking about the interplay between Ron Wood's guitar and Keith Richards, and they play off of each other, and nobody plays quite straight.
Right.
Nobody. But because Charlie Watts approaches the song in the manner that he does, centering the beat, it allows both Richards and Woods the space to go off the beat and to intertwine their guitars. And that was the difference between last week we were talking about the Mick Taylor, and Mick Taylor was definitely virtuoso. Mm-hmm. There are no virtuosos on this, but there's an interplay between Woods and Richards that was never part of the Taylor years.
No, no, absolutely
not.
It
was never.
No, and so in fact, Mick Taylor and Keith Richards had very different styles.
Oh, like, completely.
You go back and listen to that era, you can totally tell who's playing what. Between, like, but with Richards and Wood, you can't always tell who's playing which.
No,
line. Yeah.
Well, this feels more like fabric that is kind of uniformly being stitched from two different sides, but meets in the middle.
Yeah,
and you have to have Charlie Watts that serves as the frame for the whole stitchery. And so, we're gonna play "Beast of Burden." Listen to that kind of interplay between the two guitars. Mick's voice over the top is okay. That's great. Thanks, Mick. But really, in my mind, this is about the interplay between the two guitars and then how Charlie Watts assembles the frame and then Bill Wyman adds to it as well with his bits. But it's mainly Charlie Watts.
At some point in this show, we're going to have to talk a little more about Bill Wyman and what he meant to the Stones, too, and why, you know, part of my... I've said many times that the Stones haven't made a great album in 40 years. Well, for 30 of them, it's been because of Bill Wyman's not playing bass.
I'll give you some points on that. But this is Beast of Burden here on KYMN Radio 95.1. The One.
I'll never be your beast. there. The opposition's tongue is cut in two. Keep on the street, cause you're in danger. 100,000 disparos lost in the jails in South America. Curl up, baby. Curl up tight. Curl up, baby. Keep it all out of sight.
From 1983, that was the Rolling Stones with Undercover of the Night, a precursor to Mick Jagger's first failed solo album.
Wow. I like that just because, I mean, that's...
I don't dislike that song.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that I have an unpopular opinion on this, but the Undercover album is actually one of my favorite Stones albums just because it's so bizarre.
Please, folks, do not hold this against him. Thank you.
Hey, my opinion is my opinion.
Oh, no, it absolutely is your opinion. I'm just trying to protect your bona fides. That's all.
Okay, that's totally fine. You know. I really like everything about that track. I mean, I like the video as well. It's a great video, especially for
I was reminded today that MTV refused to play that video.
That's right, they did.
Because it was too violent. I got a phone call from a friend of mine today who called me up just to tell me this story. When he grew up in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to listen to this when he was growing up. It was this radio station out of Pittsburgh. And when he was 12 years old, his alarm would go off at the same time every morning. And it was like Groundhog Day, he said, for like months. His alarm would go off, and somewhere in there, within 2 minutes, the radio station would play Undercover of the Night.
Oh, nice. And
what he found out later was the radio station was going without a DJ at that point in the day.
Okay, so they had it set auto.
So it was just, yeah, there was just a loop that it was on, and Undercover of the Night just happened to hit there every single time.
But I mean, that it's a weird album. The song Too Much Blood, I love that. And I remember hearing that album on the first time when it was aired at midnight on the radio. I was in Rapid City, South Dakota, and it was obvious to me that the DJs had not vetted the album first, because there's language on the song Too Much Blood.
Yep.
And there's something about that whole record that's got a really off-kilter, nasty groove that I like.
Yeah.
But the next song that we're going to do, I really think is a great indication of Charlie's respect in the jazz community. We're going to be talking about the song Waiting on a Friend.
Wait, hang on.
Yes, it's Waiting on a Friend is next in the list. And the reason that I, first of all, I love this song just for the chord progression. This song taught me how to play a C7, which is the first chord that you hear. It goes from a C7 to an F. But what I really love most about this is it's got Sonny Rollins on saxophone.
Right.
Now, for jazz heads, Sonny Rollins was one of these purist guys who would literally take sabbaticals and not play, not perform on stage or not record, so that he could do his entire purpose of just practicing. And he famously took from 1959 to 1961 off. And what he did every night in New York City is he used to go to the Williamsburg Bridge in the middle of the night. This is like 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And he'd stand on the bridge and he'd just play.
Wow.
He'd just play. And he developed a new technique and style on how to do this. And in 1962, he released a fantastic record called The Bridge that is, if you're a jazz guy, listen to it, because you hear, at that time, if you understand historical context, he's done something completely different. And the fact that the Rolling Stones in 1981 were able to get a cat as hip as Sonny Rollins to play on a track like Waiting on a Friend, that's all because of Charlie Watts' jazz pedigree.
Except that Waiting on a Friend, though, was recorded.
Oh, yeah, it was recorded at a different time.
That's true. It was recorded in like 73. Three or five, like it was recorded right around the same time as Goat's Head Soup.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's right. Tattoo You came out in 81, but it was a collection of all kinds of stuff over a period of time.
Right.
It was an Odds and Sods collection.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even that, the Rolling Stones, Charlie Watts was known in the jazz community.
Oh, yeah. He was.
And that Sonny Rollins, the fact that he would deign to even play on a Rolling Stones album, if Charlie Watts is not in the band, you don't have Sonny Rollins playing on this track. You just flat out don't.
In the last 30 hours or so, I've probably read 42 different articles about Charlie Watts.
a shock.
And one of them, I don't remember which, I really wish I could remember who it was, because I'd like to credit the author on this one. But whoever wrote it was talking about how really what the dynamic in the Rolling Stones is all about is Mick and Keith and whoever else is playing guitar, all trying to impress Charlie. What it's about.
Yeah.
And Charlie was never impressed by Mick or Keith.
No,
whoever else was playing guitar. The only time he ever showed that he was ever impressed by anyone in the studio was when Sonny Rollins came in to play this.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, and it gets right to the point. I am not your drummer. You are my singer.
Exactly.
And Charlie Watts was a pure musician, and jazz was his real passion. The thing that was frustrating to me is I don't find enough of him playing on jazz records. You know, I went looking for a real search, and I could not find a whole lot. And, well, now, granted, we did this under duress and under short circumstances.
we threw this show together in less than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You can find those albums. A lot of those albums are out of print.
Yeah, they are. That's the problem.
You can find some of his music on YouTube.
Yeah.
Some of it, but not a lot of it. And really, I mean, it's the stuff that's on YouTube. The thing about the jazz stuff that I found was that when he's playing with his jazz band, he's very much like with the Stones. I mean, he's not flashy at all.
No.
He's just laying back and he's letting everyone else do their thing, and he's just providing the foundation. Right.
Charlie Watts, in a lot of ways, we did the show on Jeff Beccaro. He was very, very similar in the way that a really good drummer doesn't need to impress you. They just need to serve the song.
Right.
And Charlie Watts served the songs.
Every single time.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, that was his skill.
All right. So from 1981 and possibly 1973 or somewhere around that time, this is the Rolling Stones and Charlie Watts featuring Sonny Rollins with Waiting on a Friend. From on 95.1 KYMN.
The Watts.
Thank you.
a line of cars and they are painted black with flowers and my love hope never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away like a newborn baby. It just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, I must have it painted black. Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black. No more will my green seagull turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. If I look hard enough into the setting sun, my love will laugh with me before the morning comes. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes.
From 1966, as has been greatly discussed in this studio while you were listening to that song, that was Painted Black. I got two things to say about this
okay.
song. First of all, I'm very happy to have been able to play that song
mm-hmm.
because 31, 32 years ago, when I was a student at St. Olaf College.
I know what you're going to say.
You do?
Ward Sutton.
No.
Okay.
No, that door.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was actually my freshman year.
That was about. Okay, go
anyway.
Ahead. Tell your story.
Ward Sutton is a friend of Dan's and a guy I know who actually was 2 years ahead of me in high school and then was 2 years ahead of me at St. Olaf, mm-hmm. who is an incredibly established artist and he writes political cartoons for the Boston Globe and the New Yorker and the New York Times, and he's amazing. And he had
painted a door black, oh, yeah. and he had used red paint to kind of give a visage of Mick Jagger
yeah.
on it. And it was called Paint It Black. And
yeah.
I remember going,
yeah.
well done, Wardo. Yeah, and I talked to him afterwards, and you know, he and I used to hang out and stuff like that because we were JCs together.
Yep.
And so I just thought that was really kind of cool.
Anyway,
sorry about that.
It had to have been my senior year because I was playing in a band my senior year at Olaf, and we had rehearsal time at they called it the Lion's Paws. It was like the on campus sort of nightclub thing. And I remember sitting outside of the rehearsal space one day, listening to whatever band was rehearsing before we went in there. And they played Paint It Black, and they played it so poorly, it was so bad, that I thought to myself, that's it. They've just killed that song. You will never hear that song again. That song just died.
You just saw it blood red.
Exactly. Now, the other thing I wanted to say
please don't say that I was in that band or something.
You
like
were
that.
Not. You were not. But now I've actually forgotten my second point
okay.
About that song. So you say whatever you're going to
say.
Well,
yeah, the thing about Paint It Black, I just remember there was a tremendous amount of controversy over this at times because wasn't there a record executive who put a comma or between the word it and black. And it changed the thing. And I was like, God, what?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You know? And I think that the Rolling Stones embraced a lot of controversy, which I thought was interesting because Charlie Watts was such a normal guy.
Right.
And so stuff like that, I often thought all the shenanigans that would go on with the Rolling Stones, you know, like Ron Wood or whoever almost brought down the Canadian government.
That was Keith Richards.
Was it Keith Richards?
Yeah, because the affair with Trudeau's
wife.
Well, the rumor is, and it's never really gone away. It's never been disproven. It's never been proven. Pierre Trudeau's wife, who, by the way, is Justin Trudeau's mom, was having an affair with Keith Richards while she was the First Lady of Canada.
Yeah. But, you know, I always thought how uncomfortable this must be for Charlie Watts. He's been married his entire life, ever since he was young, and he's been a very staid, normal, always looked perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, impeccably dressed.
A dapper man.
Exactly. And then such a well-thought-of musician from serious guys, you know, in the jazz community and in all of the realms of music. And you're playing with this dirty, dirty rock and roll band that has controversy and drugs and all kinds of stuff. And, oh, man.
This sort of plays into the second point I was going to make.
Okay, yes. There, I fed you your
You did.
Meal.
You
there
did. From time to time in the Stones' career, they have sort of, I'm not going to say veered off course, right? But they have, like,
they veered off course.
You're right. But they've also, like, tried to experiment with some things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brian Jones, this Painted Black was all about Brian Jones wanting to play the sitar.
Right.
Right. And okay, so let's like make an Indian song. Later on, we're going to get into some of the psychedelia and we're even going to play a disco song. And through it all, Charlie Watts, who is a jazz drummer, would always say, "No, this is a rock and roll song," and would make sure it was. Painted Black is a rock and roll song because of the way Charlie is playing the drums.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point right there. Yeah. That's a really good point. This next song is one that I found, and this was one of the few jazz things I could find, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's a version called of Satisfaction, but it's called Satis, and that's in parentheses, and it's really called Faction. And this is the Danish radio big band ensemble with Charlie Watts, and this is a live recording, and it's not a mind-blowing jazz take on it, but it's pretty good.
But quite frankly, you're not going to hear another record on the show where Charlie's more out front on this one.
Yeah, so this one seemed perfect.
Yeah.
So this is that kind of jazzy take on Satisfaction on KYMN Radio 95.1.
Thank you. Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts, ladies and gentlemen.
I always felt very sorry for Brian. He was two things. He was not very nice, and he upset people very easily. He wasn't very pleasant, I mean.
You know, the last few years of his life, but I felt even sorrier for him for what we did to him then. We took his one thing away, which was being in a band. That's my opinion.
From 1965, featuring Brian Jones, that was Get Off My Cloud. I told that story earlier about the band I heard that tried to play Paint It Black and murdered it.
Yep.
I was playing with a bunch of pickup guys, just in a little pickup band one night, and we tried to do Get Off My Cloud. They wanted me to sing it.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard song, isn't it?
I can't sing that. That's a hard song to sing.
It's a hard song.
It's a really hard song to sing.
This was one of the songs that I picked.
Yeah.
And the reason I picked it is that groove, man.
Yeah.
That there's a groove that's going on
in
there.
Just that
the thing just swings, and it swings because of Charlie Watts.
Right.
And the songs that I picked, I tried to pick his sound, but slightly different visions and variations on it. I've got the swing. I've got the stuff on snare crisps. And all kinds of stuff, but this is his groove song, and I dig that, man.
Just before we played that song, there was a little snippet from an interview with Charlie Watts, and actually, it's taken from two different interviews and sort of put together. It is, I think, I've heard Keith Richards talk about Brian Jones quite a bit. I've heard Mick Jagger talk about Brian Jones a lot.
Yeah.
That was the most compassionate thing I've ever heard any member of the band say about Brian Jones.
Yeah.
We took the one thing he had away from him. That was being in a band, and we took that away from him.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and
Charlie Watts and Brian Jones did not get along.
No, they did not.
They did not get along well at all. And
that was very cool of Charlie to say about his former bandmate. But at the same time, we talked about this, Brian Jones could not have stayed in the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones would have not existed past. And it was... Brian Jones was a genius, and he was responsible for them becoming the Rolling Stones. But at the same time, he was
a tortured genius.
He was a tortured genius, and it just wouldn't have worked. And it really needed to follow the progression that it followed.
Yeah, and Brian Jones formed the band, but the band evolved away from him.
It did. It really did, and it had to.
Yeah.
So that actually brings into kind of a question. I mean, we're about midway through the show, and I think it's important to ask what's up next here on this, you know, in all of this.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, okay, good.
I'll tell you what's up next, Danny, actually.
This has been a heavy show for me, man. So, I mean, what's up next?
Well,
dude?
I've got a little something for you. I put together a little surprise.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm
salivating like Pavlov's dog here, so please tell me.
I asked my friend Wendy Nordquist, who does the weekend shows on KYMN, if she would help us out with something. And so hang on. I'll be right back.
I will be sitting here anxiously awaiting.
Okay, hang on.
Time now for the Weekly List Haiku Corner. Brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
You know, and you said that my liking Undercover was straining my credibility. Really? Dude, really? I've been replaced. I got to call out Haiku. Wendy did a fantastic job. I'll give you a but.
Don't rip my friend Wendy.
I'm not ripping Wendy. Wendy did a fantastic job.
Wendy was wonderful.
She was great. But seriously, dude, really?
It's the Poetry Corner, so we had to do something, you know, kind of classic.
Here's Haiku Rich.
Class up the joint.
Class up the joint. Okay, well, okay, deliver. Oh, maestro, please deliver. I'm still going to pick on you during these haikus. And I love your haikus, so take it. Now that you've got a new little setup thing.
Welcome to Haiku Corner.
Thanks, yeah.
I'm your host, Haiku Rich.
People call you that, huh?
They walk into Imminent Brewing and they go, "Hey, you're Haiku Rich."
Yes, we both have faces for radio, so everybody knows what we look like.
So I've got three tonight.
Okay, good.
And these are there's no narrative in this one. These are three standalones.
I'm gonna cry, aren't I? I'm sure. I always cry when you do these things.
Okay, go ahead. Here we go. You guys are just clowns. Rock and roll is so boring. I want to play jazz.
Nice, yeah. Well, you got you kind of nailed the Charlie Watts ethos,
exactly
right. Well done.
Dignity, a plum, classic, well-dressed Englishman. Charlie was all class.
That is true.
Yes,
nailed it right there to the core. Well done.
Human metronome, Jack Flash. Honky tonk women. He was the jet fuel.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Imminent.
Pick up on that one?
Yeah, it was a haiku.
It was a haiku!
Yeah, I got it. Seriously, dude? Seriously? I mean,
I love it. They're my new toys, and I'm keeping them.
Seriously? Okay. Okay. Hey, man, I am here as the guest permanent co-host. This is still your show. I mean, I'm like Ron Wood. I'm the longest serving newest member.
Exactly.
I'm Ron Wood.
You've been in the band since 1976, and you're still the new guy.
I'm still the new guy.
It's 1978.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, but I was in the Faces, so.
And you're in the Faces again.
I am. Good for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyhow.
Okay, so now we got to talk about something near and dear to
yes, please do.
Okay, Immanent Brewing.
Absolutely. Right?
And, you know, I've got this whole thing. Nothing has changed. You know, Delta variant is still out there. Cases in Rice County are still on the rise. I mean, not, you know, it's not like a massive number, but it's actually enough to make Rice County one of the one of the worst counties in the nation. It's worrisome. Delta variant is it's a problem. So if you are vaccinated, if you know what, either way, if you are vaccinated, if you are not vaccinated, please wear a mask.
It's a good idea. What's the harm? What's the harm, really?
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Who knows? Maybe you'll save a life. Maybe it'll be your own even. That, you know.
Exactly. All right. So here we go. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Cannon River Pale Ale. Wolf Creek IPA. Tangerine Dragon Squirrel.
That one's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. You gave that one to me, I think. That was delicious, man.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's gone, too. No. So I'm just saying.
Go for the Gosa, which is going to be gone soon. Little R&R, the raspberry rhubarb beer. Specialty beer. Pineapple Mountain Wheat. Question Mark Hill Wheat. Did I say Honey Basil? Honey Basil.
No,
Honey Basil, which is my personal favorite. Except that as of tonight, Thursday... October. Wow.
Well, it's because of that Haiku Corner thing. You're on such a rush that,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly. August 26th, the Oktoberfest is on tap, baby. The Oktoberfest
really?
And Immanent Brewing is back.
So the keg is cacked or cracked or what?
That's
tapped
just
or whatever.
Sehr gut. Sehr gut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good beer.
So we're now back into the time of like. Meaty, dark.
Yeah, exactly. We're starting to get back
like
into the hearty beers.
I like that kind of stuff.
There's a porter that's coming too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So, food trucks this week. Tomorrow, Kahlo Taco Hut on Friday night. That's Maria's Taco Hut for those locally. And then Saturday, it's going to be Potter's Pasties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing you got to understand that you need to know. This is important information that needs to be
disseminated.
Immanent Brewing is closed this coming Sunday.
Why? What do I do on Sundays then?
We might have to do one of those pretty soon, I think. we're probably due. They are closing to take all the employees to a Twins game. It's an employee appreciation game.
Really?
Day. Yes.
Well, great. I'll be there.
Right, and so will I.
Really?
And it's my anniversary on Sunday, so my wife will be there as well.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, then I'm now looking forward to Sunday.
Me too.
Good.
They're playing the Brewers.
Yeah.
And the Brewers are in first place in their division, or they were.
Well, I think that they might be.
Brewers are really good.
Yeah, and Twins the Bucks already, you know, took the whole NBA thing, so.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. Maybe it's... You know, remember a number of years ago, like the Boston, New England area had like everything.
Yeah, but that would then imply that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The only team in the world that I hate more than the Chicago White Sox is the Green Bay Packers.
You know, I'm starting to get indifferent on some of this stuff, and it's all, you know, it doesn't.
Anyway, okay,
I'm a lost soul.
Closed on Sunday because they're going to,
Well, that's good. That's good for all of you hardworking, Immanent employees.
It's really nice of them to do this.
It's really, you know, there's great owners that operate this place. And I'm not just saying that because they're sponsoring the show and have now provided this lovely Haiku Corner musical moment as an intro and an outro. I'm not just saying it because of that. And it is a poetic brewery. And okay, there it is.
Not only all that, they have jazz on Saturday night.
Really?
And not just any jazz, like some world class jazz. Dave Hagedorn, it's a trio.
Yeah.
It's a bass player, a drummer, and a vibes player. Okay.
Dave
Hagedorn, the vibes player. There are. Not and I'm not kidding when I say this. There are not more than
10 people in this world who are recognized as a better vibes player than Dave.
So it's going to be like a Lionel Hampton night.
Exactly. Okay, man. Oh, and Dave's just astonishing.
That's great.
And
that
Kevin's
like
an amazing bass player, and they've got Greg Schutte playing drums, who's a guy coming down from the cities who is a super well-respected drummer in the cities, whom I've seen play a number of times. This is good stuff. Like,
good.
This is, I swear to you, I'm not kidding, this is the kind of stuff you would pay a $50 cover charge to get into a jazz club in New York City to see these people play. And you can see them for free
just
at 7 o'clock on Saturday night at Eminent Brewing.
Well, get there early then, right? Is that kind of the advice? Because you want to get there and get a decent spot?
Well,
you can't go wandering around
in
a minute, right?
And they're enforcing capacity limits, too.
Good. So don't be late.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget, we're closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
But normally, Eminent Brewing is open 4 to 9 on Thursdays, 4 to 9 on Fridays, 2 to 9 on Saturdays, 2 to 7 on Sundays, just not this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, all the information you need can be found on their website at Eminent Brewing. com.
Well, very nice.
You know who I love?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
you know who else?
I love you too, but
Chester Burnett.
Oh, okay.
Chester was amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
The name is real familiar. All of a sudden, I'm just kind of
he had a working name that he worked on. He passed away a few years
ago. Oh, you're talking about Howlin' Wolf.
Howlin' Wolf. Baby.
Okay. Wow.
I love the Wolf, man.
You went with his. Okay, you got me there for a minute. Nice, well done. And this is actually my
there
pick.
There was this band, Little Feet, right? Mm-hmm. And the leader of Little Feet was a guy named Lowell George.
Lowell George, yeah.
And whenever someone wanted to come and jam with the band,
mm-hmm.
he would always ask them one question. Are you familiar with the ways of Chester Burnett and McKinley Morganfield?
Okay.
McKinley Morganfield is, of course, Muddy Waters.
Right.
Right, right. If they understood what the hell he was talking about, then they could
play. They're
cool. Yeah, but if they didn't, then they couldn't play.
Yeah.
So that was that.
Well, and this is a song that I picked. This is a version of I Ain't Superstitious, and it's from the Howlin' Wolf London Sessions.
Yep.
Now, the band on this is playing is, first of all, of course, we've got Charlie Watts on drums.
Right.
You've got Bill Wyman on bass.
Yes.
You've got Steve Winwood on keyboards, yep. And then you've got Eric Clapton playing lead guitar.
Is Winwood playing keys on this, or is he playing guitar too?
That's a good question. I think he's playing keys because there's Howlin' is playing as well, and there's not room on this for three
you're right,
guitars.
Right, but I guess I haven't been paying much attention because I'm not sure if I heard keys on the song or not. But
yeah.
Anyway, this
is the session. This is the band.
Those are
the four guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, yeah. You're right.
That's a pretty good pickup band.
That's not bad.
Howlin' Wolf, Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Bill Wyman, and Charlie Watts.
Yeah, and it's 1971 when this was cut.
Yep.
So here's I Ain't Superstitious. And, you know, you want to talk about something? I was listening to this last night.
Yeah.
And I was playing it over and over. I was actually playing the whole album a number of times. This sounds like it could have been cut last week.
It does.
In my mind.
It absolutely does.
It's timeless. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is 50 years old? Really? It sounds like it came out, was recorded last week.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, it's pretty cool.
I Ain't Superstitious by Howlin' Wolf with Charlie Watts on drums.
Well, I ain't superstitious, but a black cat I've crossed my trail. No broom, I just might get put in. Well, my right hand, I'll get some money for sure. Well, my right hand, I'll get some money for sure. We'll be right back.
is crossing my train. Boy, she the sweetest thing you ever seen. The dog is howling, and the hound. Go ahead. Listen, baby. Have you ever been loved by a man that called a woman?
Yeah.
from the 1989 Steel Wheels album that was the Rolling Stones with Almost Hear You Sigh. That in my 1989, I was 20 years old, my sort of 20-year-old young adult drama filled life. That was a song I listened to quite a bit while I was in the process of breaking up with a girl. And like breaking up with this girl mm-hmm. took like 4 months.
Yeah.
Just took forever. But yeah.
That was
like the third time we broke up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, this was one of my picks. The Steel Wheels album, not great. I remember when it first came out going, oh, I'm all over it. And I loved everything about it because
What did I tell you about that album when it first came out?
It's a really good EP.
It's one third filler.
It is. Oh, yeah. At least it's not. I mean, maybe Continental half. Divide is not a good,
song.
Got experience. But anyhow, I always like this song. First of all, because the bridge is beautiful when it opens up. This song to me is a good example of the crispness of how Charlie Watts would approach the snare, because it's a very crisp hit that he has. The song is a really kind of bizarre song. The best way that I can describe it, when I hear it, I feel like I'm walking in a room, okay? Walking around a room, and it's all very visible and seen, and it comes to the bridge, and I feel like I'm walking around a hall, and then I round the corner, and then it comes back into the room that you were already in. That's kind of the feeling that I get in my head when I hear that, in the way that my ears hear that. That's
interesting.
That's how it works. But Charlie Watts's crisp snare hit ties the whole thing, and that forms the walls and the pathways for me.
Okay. So. All right. So coming up next, you're right. We have to talk about this.
We have
really
to talk
quick.
About it. This is the elephant in the room.
Okay.
And we got to get around to it.
Keith Richards is on record
mm-hmm.
as saying that he would never, ever play in the Rolling Stones if Charlie Watts was not the drummer.
Right.
Now, they are scheduled to go on tour
mm-hmm.
in just a couple of, maybe 4 weeks or something.
Actually, right? I think it's in September.
Okay. And Charlie had already pulled out of this this tour because of health issues. The dates had already been booked. Everything was in place. Instead of canceling the tour, they brought in Steve Jordan, who will be the drummer on these.
He's going to be
shows.
The right choice. He really is.
Steve Jordan
was in Expensive Winos.
Was in Keith Richards' solo band, the Expensive Winos. Also, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He's the guy mm-hmm. that replaced Stan Ridgway. Not
okay.
Stan Ridgway. What's
Ferrone. Steve Ferrone.
No, that's... You know, I'm getting Steve Jordan and Steve Ferrone mixed up anyway.
Yeah.
Not Stan Ridgway, but Stan Lynch.
Stan, yeah, okay. I'm following Stan Ridgway. What?
Stan Ridgway was from Wall of Voodoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Feel a hot wind.
You need to get some sleep
tonight,
dude.
I am so tired, man.
Rich is like, I'm trying to feed him like caffeine shots or something.
This is
why I love coffee.
I've actually been... We're in the office. It's 9:45. I've been here for going on 17 hours today.
Exciting radio, and this is why we have the intro and outro to Haiku Corner, because this is what happens when you don't get enough sleep.
The question is,
okay, back to the big hand.
So let's just make the assumption that they're not going to do the right thing and they're going to play these shows. If it was me, like if I could just say, guys, cancel this tour. So let's just assume they're not
going
to do
that. They're not going to do
that. Right. Are the Stones done after that?
Yes.
I agree with you. Now.
Well, because here's the reason
why
they're not going to cancel.
But will they keep playing together?
No.
Yeah.
No.
And that just makes me really sad.
Here's my take on this. The Rolling Stones, when they tour, it is such a monumental event. And this was originally scheduled a long time ago, you know, 2020. There are a lot of people that have a lot of time and energy and investment in this.
Yeah.
And there are promoters involved. There's guaranteed money. This is big. And so as a result of that, I think that you've got a public that goes, okay, Charlie Watts, I don't get it. So I would just want to see the Rolling Stones. I don't care about Charlie Watts. Kill me now.
Yeah.
But, but at the same time...
Folks, if you could see the look at his face.
You know, okay, they're going to go for the celebrity aspect of, oh, I've seen the Rolling Stones. And
no,
my answer is, no, you haven't.
No.
the last Rolling Stones show is not going to be the last show of this tour. The last Rolling Stones show has already happened.
Right.
It has.
Yep.
And that's it. This is going to fulfill a bunch of things. And then when it's done, they'll probably do something quaint, which is put out a live album.
Which they always do.
Which they always do. And they'll dedicate it to the memory of Charlie Watts. And they'll say, you know, they'll do a bunch of tribute sets remembering Charlie Watts. And maybe they'll even do like a little jazz interpolation at some point, just for fun, because Steve Jordan can pull it off.
Yes, he can.
And then especially you've got their bass player, used to play with Sting and the Blue Turtles.
Is it Manu Katché?
No, that's a drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the bass player. He used to play with Miles Davis, Weather Report. I'll think about it later. Anyhow, he replaced Bill Wyman, has been longstanding with them. Big jazz guy too. Anyhow, so you've got the material for this. They're gonna go. They'll do the tour, but I understand that the Stones had been doing some recordings. So there are some studio recordings with Charlie Watts, as I understand it, that are in the can that they've been working on. They had a song that came out during the pandemic called Ghost in This Town, which is really good.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you'll see another Odds and Sods collection that's going to be, here's the final works of the Rolling Stones, and it'll be put out, and then they'll clean up stuff for a while. But the Stones are done. They're done. I just cannot... Keith Richards is the soul. Mick Jagger might want to go and say, hey, let's do stuff. And, you know, that's the London School of Economics side of Jagger that's going to come out. But you're going to see the real gut and hearts of Keith Richards. And he's going to say, there's just no way we can do it.
To believe at this point, because, you know, Paul McCartney is a billionaire. When Bowie died, he was a billionaire. I've got to believe that at least Mick Jagger, is a billionaire. And Keith has got to be mighty close to that too.
And you know, my point is these guys are not going to starve to death.
No,
their great 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 grandchildren will never starve to death.
Right.
And at some point, there's only so many yachts you can ski behind.
Exactly.
And
only so many tropical trees you can fall out of.
Nice Keith Richards there. But my point is at this point now you start trading money for legacy for money.
Yeah.
And I cannot see Keith Richards doing that. Mick Jagger is going to play solo. He'll do whatever, and he'll do a Stones review thing. But I think that this is going to be the time where Keith is going to go and say, you know what? We've had one hell of a run.
They've had the best run of any band ever.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, they've been together 60 years.
Yeah. I mean, the world's greatest rock and roll band.
Yeah.
I could maybe see Jagger and Richards doing an acoustic album of just the two of them.
Ick.
It would exactly. It wouldn't necessarily, but you cannot call anything the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones are done as of
I'd really, you know, really love Tuesday. To see another expensive Winos album.
It could still these guys. You know, Keith, you and I talked about it. Keith Richards is going to outlive both of us.
Well,
he is.
This is my point. We have, and like, I think most of society has convinced itself that Keith Richards really is immortal. Like,
I'm telling you, Gavin, he is.
Dan's son, Gavin, is.
You want to say hi?
Yeah. Hopefully this time you guys can actually hear me.
So, Keith Richards has lived such a hard life and has done so many drugs in his life and not died. The theory is that only two things will survive a nuclear holocaust, and that's cockroaches and Keith Richards.
It's true.
So we have convinced ourselves that Keith Richards is immortal. Here's the thing. He's not. And one day he's going to die, and it's going to be the creepiest thing that's ever happened.
Well,
he's going to die, but he's just going to come back.
Well, that might actually...
And I'm thoroughly convinced that, Rich, if what you're saying actually comes to pass at someday,
yeah.
I keep a bottle of unopened Oban scotch, it's a 14-year-old scotch, in my house for the emergency of when the world is going to end. That's going to be the time when I crack open that bottle Oban, when I'm convinced that all is lost, the world's going to end. If Keith Richards actually died, I know that night I'm probably going to be opening that bottle of Oban, because it's over, man. Anyhow, not to be too gruesome, because
But I think you and I are both in agreement that you and I both think that they should just hang it up.
Yeah,
right now.
This is the time for the Rolling Stones to exit. They're going to be a messy exit anyway, but you know,
at this point, I mean, they've been playing out of string for a very, very, very long time. But they're not limping to the finish line.
No,
if they keep going out, then they're limping to the finish line.
Yeah,
and just don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
So, anyhow,
I mean, not that we expect the band that made Exile on Main Street, not that we expect them to go out dignified. Right.
In fact,
when Pete Townsend inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he said, "Guys, don't go out with dignity because it wouldn't suit you."
Right.
But
that was Townsend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pete Townsend. Yeah. I just said Pete, didn't I? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I just want to make
Townsend.
It clear.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, hang it up, guys. We love you, and hang it up.
This next song is from, is this from Satanic Majesty's?
This is from at their Satanic Majesty's request. And this is another one of those songs where they tried to go off and do something weird, and Charlie said, "No, we're going to make this a rock song."
Exactly. Okay, we're going to give this advantage. We're going to play the song 2,000 Light Years From Home.
Yep.
I first heard this on the Steel Wheels tour in 1989, to be quite honest with you. That was when I first heard it, and it was like, I heard that they were going to do it, so I listened to the album, and I went, wow, this is going to be an experience. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and so then when they played it, I was all ready for it. Gavin heard it for the first time on the way down here today.
Yeah.
So, Gav, what was your thoughts on this song? It's called 2,000 Light Years From Home. You were saying some funny stuff in the car about it.
My brain feels like it's made of spaghetti after hearing that.
All right, so here's the spaghetti serving up the Rolling Stones with 2,000 Light Years From Home. Charlie Watts turned it into a rock and roll song despite what Jagger and Richards thought. And here on 95.1 KYMN, The One. That's so much fun. We were sitting there talking about it. First of all, you got Charlie Watts, who's just
playing his rock solid.
Rocket solid. Yeah, yeah. And then you got Bill Wyman that's doing the disco.
Bill Wyman's playing disco on that song.
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah, he's totally playing disco.
And then
on that
you
song.
Get Jagger's harmonica right. over the top at that right. intro bit. And right. then, you know, Woods and Richard instrumentally. Such a solid, fun groove, and it moves, and it's sexy, and it's slinky, and then you get
and
Jagger
really,
just doing his
really
thing over top.
Really want to make Jagger's better vocal performance.
It is.
Too.
It really is.
Yeah, it's and pretty good.
That's how Some Girls opens, right? Is that the first track?
How do I not know that?
I'm pretty sure that that's how.
I think
the
it probably
happens.
Does. Yeah. I think it probably does.
Because that whole record
Scott
is such
O'Connell,
a fantastic.
Scott O'Connell's listening to this.
I know he's sitting there
you
going,
"You guys are
oh,
just
guys,
a bunch of idiots,
a bunch of putzes."
Sorry, Scott. Anyway, well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of the Weekly List. I don't know.
It's another. You know, we got to stop this whole thing, Rich. We were like the death merchants of rock and roll. Actually, you in particular are, because you're the one that always calls me and says, "Hey, guess what?" And I half the time I don't even want to pick up the phone anymore.
I sure as hell hope we're not doing another Stones show next week.
No, by the way, Miss You does open Some Girls. Had to check and make sure. See, I got it right. So Scott O'Connell, I haven't completely lost it.
Yeah. All right, I'm just the putz. Okay. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of the Weekly List. If you like the show and you want to hear more, you've got a lot of different ways you can listen to us. You can tune in every Thursday night on 95.1 The One, 7 p.m. or after the Twins game, whichever comes first. You can stream us off of our show page at kymnradio.net, where I have all of the past shows archived on that page. You can podcast us by looking for the KYMN Radio podcast on all the platforms where you like to get your podcast, including Danny
Stitcher.
Exactly.
I love that. It's just fun, you know.
Or you can just find us on Facebook under the Weekly List, where I post every new show every Friday morning.
Yeah. And that's very nice. That's a wonderful public service.
I do what I can. And while you're on Facebook, you should go like the KYMN Radio Facebook page, 95.1 The One. And you should also go like the Imminent Brewing Facebook page.
No doubt.
Yes.
Hashtag shameless plug.
Well, yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Dude, this is what we do.
It's Come not on. Show friends, it's show business.
That's right. It's, yeah, so.
I'm sorry, right. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I know, okay. I understand.
So here's tonight, this is going to be a first. I mean, we've talked about, there's a couple songs that have been played more than once on the Weekly List.
Yeah.
Africa was one.
Africa's one, Heroes by David
yes,
Bowie.
Yes, that's
the most played song.
Most played. And
but this next song is charging up fast.
Well, this is a very big first because we played this song last week.
Yes, we did.
So this is the first time that a song has been played in two consecutive Weekly List shows.
But if you're going to play a show, do a show about Charlie Watts, you have to play Gimme Shelter.
There's no two ways around it. And again, this is still my favorite Stone song. And
probably is mine too.
Yeah, and again, last week as I was driving home, I'm listening to the show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm listening to the rough mix down so that I can hear it and just make sure that we didn't screw it up.
I do the same thing.
You know, it's kind of important.
I always do the same thing.
And I was listening to it as I'm driving home through the cities and Gimme Shelter comes on and all of a sudden I got all of the creeps. Because, you know, it's the middle of the night by the time I get home and I'm like, I was glad to hit my garage.
So let's
is an appropriate response.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
So let's break down the elements of this song for a second. Last week we spent most of our time talking about Mary Clayton.
Yes.
Who, you know, is proof for some people that the proof of God.
Right.
You're right? Okay. There's Keith's guitar on this song, which is creepy.
Creepy is a good way to describe
creepy,
it. Yeah.
Right. There's Mick Jagger. You know, it's funny because he created the character of the devil for Sympathy for the Devil, but there's Mick Jagger singing the song like he is the freaking devil.
Yes, this sounds like Hellhounds on
it. Yeah,
it really does. To some degree, and I just kind of, I guess, thinking about it now, there's a little bit of some Robert Johnson coloring on here.
Yeah,
you know, Hellhounds
yep.
on my trail, stones in my pathway,
yep.
that kind of feel,
yeah.
but much more electric and much more late night, much more urban.
Burns like a red coal carpet.
Yeah, darkness.
Yeah.
This is a haunted song.
Right. And then right in the middle of it, you've got Charlie Watts coming at you like a demon.
Yeah. This is forceful drumming.
Yeah.
This is forceful power.
That tom fill he's got in the chorus is, it's just one of the, it really is, it's one of the great moments in rock and roll.
Yeah, and I mean the, and I think some of it has to, you talked about how he holds his hands like a jazz, and actually, like, if you were in high school band and you learned how to play snare, this is how you play it, where you're holding your right hand straight on, and your left one is kind of more cradled,
right?
So the palm of your hand is facing upwards, and you're kind of playing that way, and for him to get that kind of power with that snap, imagine how strong his left wrist is to do that. I mean, you really have to do it. It's easier to go from the top, but to go from the side as
it's
a
tough.
Smack, you've got a tough wrist.
Yeah, you've got Stuart Copeland wrists.
You've got, Well, you have Charlie Watts wrists.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean,
it's true.
And the guy played all the way to the end, really.
Yeah,
and, you know, 80-year-old guy, and he's still whacking this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he was. Yeah. Rest in peace, Charlie Watts. I mean, you're a beautiful drummer. You were the heartbeat of the Rolling Stones, and you're going to be missed. I can't believe it.
I quote Mick Jagger, What will I do without you? I can't believe you're gone.
Yeah.
I posted on Facebook yesterday. I don't want to live in the world without Charlie Watts. I'm going to have to figure this out now.
Yeah.
Like the Rolling Stones, one of the cornerstone bands of my music listening life.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, you know, so
thanks, Gavin.
All I can say is God bless Charlie Watts. God bless the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
So many.
God bless you, Charlie
band.
Watts. Indeed. So we'll end you with the first track off of Let It Bleed from 1969. This is Gimme Shelter. We love you, Charlie Watts.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you did. We'll talk to you guys again. Well, actually, thanks for listening.
early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the colored radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. And I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had an arrangement to meet a girl, and I was kind of late. And I thought by the time I got there, she'd be off with the nearest truck driver she could find. Much to my surprise, girl, with far away eyes. So if you're down on your luck, and you can't harmonize, find a girl with far away eyes. She got